Welcome to the weekend and the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick, and if you follow the Roundtable, you've learned that before I came to radio, I was a career cop. Now I've been in radio longer than I was a policeman. There are career opportunities in law enforcement all across Florida. I got to thinking about that, my youngest son being a policeman in Titusville. Then I got to thinking about police training and certification and who just might be able to clue us in about that and the opportunities that are in the field. John Blackledge is a career cop, having risen to management levels and becoming a subject matter expert in law enforcement training. Cops, training, certification, career opportunities, all ahead this weekend on this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Thanks for taking your time this weekend and joining us on the Florida News Network. We look at law enforcement and maybe opportunities for you as we continue.
Excuse me, is this the checkout line?
Oh no, this is the line for Florida Sweet Corn.
Florida Sweet Corn is in season? Nobody told me.
You're not a member of the Fresh from Florida Club, are you?
The what?
The Fresh from Florida Club. Sign up at freshfromflorida.com and you'll get a heads up whenever locally grown produce is in season. The club has lots of free perks, but knowing when Florida Sweet Corn is available is one of my favorites.
Guess I'll be heading over to freshfromflorida.com after I get my Florida Sweet Corn.
Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-240-4587. 800-240-4587. That's 800-240-4587.
Parents of Florida, you are not alone in your parenting journey. April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. In challenging moments, it's brave to ask for help. Prevent Child Abuse Florida and partners across the state are ready to support you with resources and programs right in your community. The state of Florida invests in you because every parent deserves support and every child deserves a loving home. Visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
HealthCare.gov is here for you when life happens. If you lost your health coverage because of turning 26, going off Medicaid, leaving your job, or moving, you could be eligible to enroll in new coverage now. And if you need to update your coverage because of marriage or having a baby, you could also be eligible. But don't wait. There's a limited time to enroll. Check your eligibility at HealthCare.gov today. Life happens. Get covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
And welcome back to the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network. I'm Bill Mick. Joining me in studio this week, John Blackledge, who's been a career law enforcement officer and heavily involved in training and certification. What goes on in the law enforcement world? Let's introduce you to John Blackledge as we get this edition of the Roundtable started. John, thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. It's good to see you.
I'm happy to be here and more than happy to talk about where we're at training and law enforcement and what the history's been.
Get cops together and talk about police work. It makes for an easy conversation. At least we hope so.
Lifetime.
When did you start?
Well, I was a police explorer in, of all places, Titusville, Florida. I became a part-time game warden in the 1978-79 time period.
We called those possum cops in West Virginia.
Possum cops, grouper troopers.
Yeah, all yep. That.
I did that as a reserve, and Palm Bay hired me in 1980. I continued there until my last 3 years. I was deputy chief and interim chief for a period of time and hit my retirement age and had to move on. I had a mandatory retirement date, and I worked at Sebastian as a commander for 4 years, and I'm currently a reserve deputy for Brevard Sheriff's Office here in Brevard County.
Once it's in your blood, it doesn't leave, does it?
Well, I'm a cop, my wife's a cop, and I now have a daughter that's a Palm Bay officer. So, yep, it's in the family.
It's a family thing. My grandfather was a constable back in the day in West Virginia, so there is some family tradition going on here.
Yep.
Let's talk about the path of your career. You got heavily involved in training to the point you were involved in creating training and certification for the state of Florida. What led you down that path? What happened there?
Well, I had been involved in training in my youth, through scouting and American Red Cross, and was actually a CPR first aid instructor in my early teens. And as I got into law enforcement, that kind of carried on at Palm Bay. I went through the instructor trainer course in the early 80s and ended up taking over for the man that hired me, Paul Kruskamp. He was the legal instructor at the police academy here at then Brevard Community College. And when he went off to law school, I kind of picked up that role. And I've been the legal instructor at Eastern Florida State College, as it's called now, since the late 1980s. That springboarded me into becoming what's called an SME, or subject matter expert, for the Criminal Justice Standards and Training Commission in Florida. That's the version of POST, Police Officer Standards and Training. And in 1992, I got tapped to write curriculum when we turned it into a formal curriculum. And then in the mid-90s, got involved in the state statutory mandated state exam, what's called SOCE, State Officer Certification Exam. Over the years, I've stayed with that. I've taught at about five different academies around the state of Florida, and I do many agencies contract work teaching at departments upon request.
So the standards that we're talking about, so that whatever academy you go to, wherever it is in the state, the training is similar. You're hitting the same benchmarks. You're getting, making sure you're getting the same kind of trained officer coming out of those academies, right?
Correct. For the 40 academies across the state of Florida, which is a mixture of agencies, community colleges, adult training, there's a 770-hour template or curriculum that is approved by the commission, which is 19 professionals, three chiefs, three sheriffs, along with Attorney General's Office, Department of Corrections, and they set the requirements for what is now a 770-hour law enforcement curriculum.
In-service requirements beyond that initial training, I'm sure.
Addition to that, once you're certified and you pass that state exam and become a law enforcement officer, you have a mandated by state statute 40 hours with some particular things that have to be covered. For example, discretionary traffic stops, firearms, and a number of other topics.
So a lot of things to get into. And I want to talk about that and how it's changed through the years. Everything's advancing. Computers becoming a big part of it. I never had a computer in my police car. Are you kidding me? But they're there now. And okay, I hear complaints about distracted driving and the like. Okay, show me distracted driving. Nonetheless, we're going to talk with John Blackledge, this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Thanks for being with us on the Florida News Network.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-786-9014. That's 800-786-9014.
In search of the perfect cut for your lawn? Join the pursuit by choosing from a full line of Steel mowers. From gas and battery options to zero turns and push mowers, Steel offers a wide range of mowing solutions for homeowners and professionals. Right now, get 0% financing on your purchase with a Steel zero-turn mower. Real Steel. Find yours at steelusa.com/mowers. Available at select dealers. Financing available on qualifying purchases and subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, I'm Bill Mick. Joining me, John Blackledge, career law enforcement officer and subject matter expert when it comes to law enforcement training and the like. And John, that's where I want to start, with training that goes on. And I have discussions on a pretty regular basis with folks who are pro and some who seem to be con law enforcement every now and then. I don't think many of the folks understand what all goes into, once you've decided that's the career path, how much training is there, what the requirements are, and the concerns that agencies, the governments that run the agencies and others have about liability, proper use of force, proper use of the tools available to law enforcement, and all of that's part of the training experience. Let's talk about the standards that you had mentioned earlier and what went into developing those and adopting those on a statewide level.
Well, a little bit of 30 seconds of history is...
Sure.
For a long time, there were no police academies throughout the United States. And
all you need is a 38 and a six-cell flashlight. Go to work.
And one day in a car with an experienced officer.
There you go.
A lot of it was military people that had a high degree of discipline, a lot of training, and knew how to follow instructions. And police academies kind of expanded rapidly in the 70s after some Supreme Court decisions about local law enforcement, state, county, city, had to follow the Constitution in 1961. And what you start to see is a undertaking of, we're going to train officers, and particularly on constitutional law, but also meeting standards and requirements. Florida's started police academies by statute around 1972. When I went to the academy in the late 70s, it was a list of curriculum objectives, and it was very subjective to wherever you went. Now, there was about 30 academies in Florida at the time. Around the time I got involved in the curriculum writing, it was a total overhaul where the state, this is in around 92, the state was like, we want to really create not a textbook, but a clearly defined, so everything, as you had mentioned earlier, is standardized and exactly the same in every one of what is now 40 licensed police academies throughout the state. That started what is called CMS in Florida, Curriculum Maintenance System, and Florida does an exceptionally good job as one of the higher-ranking, longer academies throughout the United States, where it is constantly being reviewed, revised. And that process occurs with subject matter experts. These are people usually who are active in the law enforcement field, who have taught in the police academy or are FTOs, field training officers. And they combine that experience to what is it a cop really has to know. And it starts with a job task analysis. So this isn't a flippant throw some subjects on the table and pick and someone decides. It's a very involved process.
Sounds like it would be. And with court decisions happening every day in this country, those can change what you're going to do law enforcement-wise and how you're going to do it.
Yes, and the curriculum is flexible because you don't know if the person you're training in most of the police academies in Florida is going to go to a 3 to 10 man agency or go to a – or is part of a – going to be a member of a 2,000-member sheriff's office or police department, so
right.
The larger here in the state of Florida. So there's flexibility. And
and the citizens in each of those jurisdictions, whether it's a 3-man department or a 2,000-man department, have the same expectations of professionalism from the cop no matter where they're at.
Correct.
And they should have.
And the standards and the ethics, which are expected to be high, have to be – in fact, that's brought up in the very first block of the Florida Police Academy program, the basic recruit training program, is ethics and expectations and service to the community is in the intro block, which has to be the first 12 hours of the academy.
Well, cops should be held to higher standards.
Exactly.
And I don't know any cop worth his salt who doesn't think so.
Yes, on and off duty. It is
absolutely
a lifestyle.
Yeah, most certainly is. As you got involved in developing these, and is there a difference between this training and the standards and then, in quotes, certification?
Yes. just because you complete the police academy does not make you, quote, certified. In fact, that's in the introduction block. You're not certified until you've completed successfully the police academy, passed all the tests, and met all the requirements in that program, both skills and knowledge. But you then have to take the state officer certification exam, which is mandated by state statute. And
is that automatic at the conclusion of an academy, or is it a separate test later on?
It's pretty much automatic. If you don't pass it, you have three attempts.
Okay.
And you have to get an 80. This is not a 70 or get, you know, the
right
usual class scores. And just because you've passed the academy and passed the state exam does not mean you're certified. You're certified when you are sworn in and given a gun and a badge by a law enforcement agency, and that's when, quote, certification.
So it's the final step in certification.
Yes. So if you don't get a job, you were never certified. You just passed the class and passed the test.
Is there a similar certification for departments themselves?
Not for most agencies, but virtually everybody follows a program that was created in the late 60s or some variation of it called either the Roberts-Kaminsky FTO program or the San Jose FTO program, which is a court-tested 16-week, sometimes modified, training program where you work with people after you've completed the academy who are called officers who are FTOs, field training officers. And that's really where the rubber meets the road. The academy, there's basically, I break it down to there's six phases or levels of training. The first one is you have to get in. You have to have led a life, and you can't have been a criminal and have convictions. You have to have a good moral character as defined in state statute. Mm-hmm. You complete the academy and finish the SOCE. You finish FTO. And then the last three are really where you're on probation for a year.
Right.
After FTO, you usually have 6 to 10 months somewhere in that area for the agency to say you're just not cutting it, you don't have what you need, you're not making us happy, and before you become a permanent employee. And then the last two is the long-term aspects that I'm sure we'll talk about later, and that's either you choose to get advanced training through college, and FDLE, CJSTC has advanced classes. I teach quite a number of those, line supervision, mid-management if you want to get promoted, things like interview and interrogations, and then there's skills type like rifle training and defensive tactics. But advanced training and then what you do on your own. And if you forsake those things, you are going to lose your skills. Because as you know, you did SWAT work, and I oversaw a SWAT team and patrol a lot of my career. These skills are perishable. Even the knowledge component, as you mentioned, law changes constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So what I teach at a student in the academy in this coming May will be totally changed after a session of the legislature in Florida when they get out and they're on their own May of 2025. So there are perishable skills that go into everything that we do.
Constant renewal of things that you have to relearn, reteach, and keep on top of, because liability falls to the department, falls to the jurisdiction, the city, the county, whoever it may be, if you're not following those things. That's interesting.
Yes. And again, where the rubber meets the road are really two parts of it. The field training program and what the agency does to keep updated, keep all of their people updated, whether it's the law, soft skills like communications, or some of those high liability like defensive tactics, driving, and firearms.
We've seen recruitment tactics going outside the state, trying to draw law enforcement officers into the state of Florida. There are career opportunities all over the state in law enforcement and various aspects of it. What's it take for a cop certified, say, in West Virginia to come here and become certified to work in Florida?
Well, we call that the equivalency of training. It's offered throughout most of the academies through the state of Florida. I teach a block of that. It can vary depending on the facility. It can be anywhere from about 5 or 6 days to about 3 weeks. You have to complete the four high liability areas, which is firearms DT, medical, and driving. and show your skills. They do the same for corrections, but they don't have the driving component. Here at Eastern Florida in Brevard, we do a two-day legal block because legal and intro are the things that are Florida-specific that would help someone transfer. And then those candidates, if they have a year of, say, a year in West Virginia, a year in California, then they're eligible to take this crossover to Florida class we call Equivalency of Training, EOT, or EQ. And then they take the state exam. And if they pass the state exam, the agency can bring them on board as an officer, and normally they put them through, again, the field training program, because that's truly where...
Department to department specific, things are going to be done differently, even though they're essentially done the same. The paperwork changes, the equipment changes, yeah.
And the policies may be different. The law doesn't say whether you can or cannot do, for example, pursuits is a perfect example. Vehicle pursuits, you can have two departments next to each other. One where the chief or the sheriff says, we will not pursue anybody. And the other one where we'll pursue traffic tickets.
Right.
So that's where you learn. And that learning, obviously, an in-service should be ongoing.
Yeah, very, very true. Are we seeing the vacancies that exist across the state being filled? Is it still something that there are plenty of career opportunities there?
We're seeing progress. I think it's hurting everywhere. I travel around the United States to police conferences and teach outside the state of Florida. I'll say this, we're not hurting in Florida near as bad as a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do two full-time academies every year. We are now doing four every year.
That is
busy. We used
to
do one or two EQ classes. We did as many as five one year. So we're seeing the influx, but we also have some impact of the way Florida grew and the explosion in the 1980s. Unfortunately, we're losing a lot of our experienced law enforcement officers. And as younger folks get promoted and those people leave, that's causing vacancies at the bottom. But depending on the department, I think for the most part, we're holding our own. What's great in Florida is, for the most part, you see a lot of support for law enforcement.
I was going to ask you about that. We're about out of time in the segment, but around the country, there are places where law enforcement's not appreciated. My perception in Eastern Florida is, yeah, we appreciate cops pretty much. Is it true across the state generally?
Yes, in the United States, and I, again, travel the state and the country.
And we'll talk it more when we continue on the roundtable.
Are you sure we should be driving this thing?
Well, it hasn't sunk yet.
Is that the best idea, though? You've been served an at-risk citation. At this point, it'll be easier to contact the Florida Vessel Turn-In Program, or VTIP, and get them to remove it for free. If you wait till it sinks, you have to pay a removal fee and maybe even a criminal fine.
I don't know.
Don't wait until it's too late. For more information, go to FloridaVTIP.com. That's FloridaVTIP.com.
More than 50,000 distracted driving crashes occurred last year in Florida. And sadly, close to 300 people involved in those crashes never made it home. Distracted driving is dangerous driving. It puts everyone in danger. The text can wait. Put it down and focus on driving. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Back on the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network, Bill Mick with our guest John Blackledge, career law enforcement officer, a law enforcement manager, law enforcement trainer, and actually creator of a lot of the curriculum that officers are trained with in Florida, and I guess, John, around the country as well, huh?
Well, I haven't been involved in training curriculum around the country. I've traveled the country at a lot of police conferences and done leadership training. I have a leadership book, Law Enforcement Leadership Management and Supervision, that was published last year. But also going to training conferences. There is an association of International Association of State Police Trainers, and ILFE also, which is another one. But state, there was a large contingent of people. When we started in 92, there were 120 people in St. Pete to bring the genesis of what we have, of the foundation of what we have for law enforcement curriculum in Florida today. And the good thing is it's constantly maintained and updated, as I'd mentioned.
Does it have a full-time staff, or do they come together every now and then to review and work on things?
Yes, there's a full-time staff at the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. They're called the Criminal Justice Professionalism Division. And that team, it's a handful of folks, they're not supposed to create curriculum. Their job is to coordinate and organize the process, and they use subject matter experts, which, again, are people that are active in law enforcement, usually teaching at academies or training, field training officers, or training in some other specialty area. And they create the curriculum, hand it off to the state employees who edit it and clean it up, and then present it to the Criminal Justice Standards and Training Commission for final approval. Mm-hmm. And they meet every quarter. They are the governing board for standards for police officers, and corrections probation officers. As I say, they license us and they can take us away.
Right.
Because they also serve to decertify officers that don't meet requirements in the state. But their main role is oversight of training and the professionalism of law enforcement throughout Florida.
We've talked a little bit about initial training, but both you and I know the saying in my region was, you might be a rookie for a year technically, but until you have 5 years on the job under your belt, you're still a rookie. By the time you've got 5 years in, you've pretty much seen it all, which makes continuing training even more important. Let's talk about that aspect for a minute.
Well, I think you're right. A lot of focus seems to be is how long is this academy? How long is that? Nationally, Florida ranks toward the top. It's 770 hours, about 22 weeks. of Basic Recruit Academy. And once you get through that, as we talked before, you take a state exam. Well, a paper test is just tells us you have some knowledge. Where the rubber meets the road, as I had mentioned before, field training, the FTO program, is where you're taught how to do the job, and then we watch you do it through probation. Well, if you think about that, that's about 12 to 16 months of your life. And in a 30-year career, your ability to use defensive tactics, your accuracy and decision-making process with firearms, and all the things that you do, and we look at them as, is it critical, like shooting a gun? Is it frequent, like driving a car? You're driving a car all the time.
Right.
So it's really the police agency, along with the academies that provide some specialized, there's about 30 advanced training programs in the state of Florida that are curriculum-based, and they're taught through the regional police academies. Things like interview and interrogations, line supervision, death investigations, accident reconstruction. And those programs obviously enhance or develop new skills. What's really important day-to-day, particularly for the line-level uniformed officers, deputies, troopers, game wardens, is the agency's emphasis on in-service training of those perishable skills.
Generally, are they pretty good about following up with that?
Honestly, I'd say it's across the board. I was blessed at Palm Bay. We were training all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lieutenant that used to complain back in my early days that we were overtrained in some very colorful terms. And then I taught what I call legal tactics. I'm not a lawyer. I do a program with some legal update and scenarios in it. And I asked one department in the state of Florida that I was contracted to teach for, when's the last time you had a legal update? And almost everybody in the group, it was 80 officers, said the last time we had legal was in the academy. And for some of the people in that room, that was 15, 20 years ago. Obviously, agencies tend to react to problematic incidents.
Sure.
But most agencies have a training focus, a commander, maybe a training staff, that is constantly assessing, a command staff that's paying attention to, you know, what things do we need to, number one, keep our folks alive, treat the citizens properly, both legally, constitutionally, and, you know, enhancing their trust with the community. So it's across the board. Some agencies are very good at it. A small number of them don't do well, and often that they suffer either from public image or possibly even lawsuits.
What do you see as you look around the country and comparing, because we all do it, law enforcement agency to law enforcement agency, policy to policy? Is Florida preparing its cops to be as good as they can be and serving the public as they do?
I think we do an excellent job. Again, the academy is not the end all. It should not be overly focused on. I think FTO is really where it matters, as I've mentioned several times. But overall, I would say Florida is at the top tier of that. When we were doing the curriculum process in the 90s, and we spent a number of years on that, the places that we went to look, surprisingly, weren't California or New York, where people tend to think, because that's what's on TV.
Because of those big departments, New York City, L.A., sure.
Yeah.
L.A. County.
It was Kentucky. Kentucky and an agency in Canada. But it turned out that while we were doing that, we realized Florida's doing really good. And at the time, we were looking to make the best program that we absolutely could.
Very good. It is, it's been a bone to pick for me that oftentimes we send folks to in-service. They don't pay a lot of attention. There doesn't seem to be a lot required of them. That was in my experience, and that was years ago. But I did find through a lot of in-service I did, you've mentioned a couple of times, interview and interrogation classes. One of the best classes I took as a policeman was kinesic interview and interrogation tactics from a guy named Dan Sosnowski out of Atlanta, who is originally out of the Chicago area, who taught polygraph examining as well. And if you can pay attention to what people are saying, the way they're saying it and what they're actually telling you, even as they're trying to lie to you, it's an amazing tool. There are tools to be found out there that'll make cops better than they ever thought they could be.
Yes. And again, that's part of that six phases I've talked about,
yeah,
is there's aspects of enhancing your skills. Before I became an art cop for 4 years, I had to take
most fun in my career.
Yep. It was one of the best jobs I had. You had to take the DEA course on narcotics identification,
sure,
investigation,
yeah,
to really
And darn, they
there.
Sent me to Virginia Beach from West Virginia to go take that 2-week class. I hated that.
Well, Palm Bay, fortunately, was being a training hub at the time, and the chief got them to come to us, so I didn't go anywhere. But those advanced trainings develop people in their career sets.
Absolutely.
What's critical is that everybody that wears a gun and a badge and has the authority that we have as law enforcement officers can never forget that ground level where you came from, basic skill sets.
Exactly.
And those things are perishable. When I was a shift lieutenant, I had an officer, is a sergeant actually, got in a wrestling match with someone, and they got the little bit the better of him. We ended up hauling the guy in. Sergeant comes in, his uniform's tattered and torn. And I talked to him for a little bit, and I said, what happened? And short version is his skill sets were gone with defensive tactics, hand-to-hand combat, so mm-hmm. to speak. So I called in one of the guys on the shift who's well-known for defensive tactics training, and I said, every Saturday and Sunday, when we have not a whole lot going on, you're going to bring two people in, and everybody's going to get – don't give them 16 that they're required to have at the academy. I want 4 good skills that will help them survive the fight.
Absolutely.
When you're trying to arrest
Absolutely.
Someone in those rare occasions that people resist. Well, 8 months later, I took a lot of heat over that. In fact, the sergeant that was in the wrestling match went, I guess I'm responsible for this. And he's a great guy. 8 months later, he's in another one, and he controls the situation. Virtually no damage to him. Bad guy's safe. He brings him in, and he comes in. He goes, I apologize. And I said, for what? And he goes, I complained the whole time you were making us do repetitive defensive tactics. But those perishable skills
can save your life.
Not only is, and this is important, not only is it the department's responsibility, but it's your personal responsibility as a law enforcement professional to keep up to speed on those things.
You can't get two cops together without a war story or two. And speaking about those defensive tactics, I've got one for you. And then we're going to talk career opportunities for folks in Florida, how the job may have changed, and what's available here on the Florida Roundtable.
If your king or queen sago palms have been invaded by Asian cycad scale, it's time to fight back with organic Summit year-round spray oil. It kills Asian cycad scale and other insect pests. But Summit year-round spray oil contains no chemical toxins. Insects don't build up a resistance to this horticultural oil, so it keeps working every time you spray. Summit year-round spray oil is available at fine garden centers and at summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
Honey, I've got some great news.
Fix the sink?
No.
Clean the garage?
No.
Cut the grass?
I know what to do with our old boat. The Florida Vessel Turn-In Program, or VTIP, accepts vessels at risk of becoming derelict. Since we're titled owners and got a citation and warning from law enforcement, we can have it removed at no cost before it becomes derelict.
Great. Now, about that other stuff?
Shh. First, boat.
Don't wait until it's too late. For more information, go to FloridaVTIP.com. That's FloridaVTIP.com.
Last time on The Bold and the Blueberries.
Nancy, how could you?
I don't know what you mean.
My blueberries, Nancy. You ate all my Florida blueberries.
Oh, we can get more, Nick. Florida blueberries are in season. I can help you look for the Fresh from Florida logo where we shop.
We? No. From now on, I shop for Florida blueberries. Alone.
For dramatically delicious blueberries, choose Fresh from Florida. There's sunshine in every bite.
It's Old Cop Week on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you along with us on the Florida News Network. John Blackledge in with me, Bill Mick. John, you were mentioning defensive tactics and things, and what I recall from my initial defensive tactics course in the State Police Academy, and that was in West Virginia, was they taught you enough to get you hurt. They warned you constantly, you're going to be sued if you hurt somebody, so we're going to teach you a little bit of judo, or we're going to teach you a little bit of this martial art. It's going to help you control a guy. And it was never enough to finish the job. I was 8 years into the job, maybe a little longer, before I had an ASP baton class, which is the first class I had that taught you as a cop to hurt a bad guy when he needs to be hurt and how to do it lawfully without causing permanent injury. Did we neglect that for some period of time because everybody was supposed to be a rough and tumble cop?
Yeah, I think so. And when I started, it was the straight stick baton.
Yep.
And then I had the PR-24, the T.J. Hooker TV show with William Shatner,
right,
with the handle on the side. But as we went to the ASP baton, probably about that same time, because you and I started at about the same time.
Roughly, yeah.
That is, I think, where we really got into a proper tactical process with the baton. The PR-24 a little bit was that, but that horrific image that you and I saw when we were kids from things in the 50s and 60s,
yeah,
of wailing cops.
I worked with
batons.
Guys who still wore sap gloves and carried a sap in their back pocket.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bad days.
There were a few of those right when I started and while I was an explorer. But that I think people would be amazed if they went into any police academy in Florida and watched the regimentation and the basic skill sets progressing and growing into what is a full-blown ground fighting episode. Because eventually, with very violent people, you're going to end up on the ground likely. Mm-hmm. And I've walked in at our DT trainings at several of the academies I've worked at to talk to the class about something and get caught up with them. And, you know, the whole focus is effectively subduing the subject, keeping you safe and without minimal injury to the suspect. And that's what we're out to do. But you're trained well before DT or firearms as to you respond to the level of force that is that the threat that's being presented to
right.
you. And we do a great job with that, in my opinion. It's that perishable skills, ongoing skill set that we have to keep up on day after day, year after year, because in a 30-year career.
Like you said, it's a life. It's a commitment.
Yes.
And it's what you're going to do the rest of your days. Even sitting in a radio studio every day in my life, I've got a cop mindset in my head. It doesn't go away. Let's talk about those who might be interested in a law enforcement career and the various options that are out there. It's changed through the years. Corrections is there. You've got the regular patrol job that everybody talks about, where you're going to start most likely if you're not starting in corrections. You've got various kinds of detective work. We mentioned drug work, but there's homicide investigations, there's burglaries, there's everything else that goes on. But you've also got a cyber element these days, and you've got specialized crime scene techs anymore. You and I used to collect our own fingerprints and our own evidence and try not to mess it up along the way. There are multiple opportunities for folks who want in on this kind of career.
Yes, both civilian and the sworn
Absolutely.
Element of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, in the civilian side, just to kind of rattle it off quickly, is you'd mentioned crime scene. We're usually looking at people with some kind of advanced training and often a 2-year degree. There's several of those in criminalistics. Criminology is a study of criminals. Criminalistics is the processing of evidence.
Right.
But probably the most expansive thing that's occurring is this cybercrime. And I had a homicide that we had a horrific homicide in Palm Bay that detectives were doing a great job. It was the best they could do, but we were at a second-degree murder, and about 30 minutes, a cyber crimes guy that was working for me turned it into a first-degree murder by going on the internet and finding information from the suspect that the suspect
showing the
had
premeditation
written,
aspects,
getting that premeditated aspect. So it's not only that; it's obviously the correlation of data. The other that you didn't mention is crime analyst. Mm-hmm. There's so few cops, and while our crime is relatively low in the state of Florida. And fortunately, we, because of the support of the public and the legislature and our governing officials, we really enjoy a good environment. But there's still crime, and we want to focus our time on those criminals and have that intelligence. On the sworn side of it, I can't imagine a career field where you – I've done just about everything except work a canine, and I was a commander of the SWAT team from a tactical administrative standpoint, but I was never on the SWAT team. But I've gotten to do everything in police work, and I know some guys that have had 10 jobs in a 30-year career.
We didn't even mention dispatchers or regular administrative personnel and other support staff that are out there just to take care of everything that needs to be done. We wrap it up when we continue with John Blackledge in moments on the Roundtable.
It'll never happen to me. I'll never need help. That's what every boater thinks. But then one day, you do need help, and you have no way of getting it because you thought having an emergency locator beacon was unnecessary. You're wrong. Emergency locator beacons are effective, affordable, and they save lives. Seriously. If not for you, do it for them.
Learn more about emergency locator beacons at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
There's a crash every 44 seconds in Florida, with 1 in 7 involving distracted drivers. That doesn't just mean using your phone. Distracted driving is anything that takes your hands off the wheel, eyes off the road, or mind off driving. Texting, applying makeup, eating, or even adjusting the radio. Florida wants you to just focus on your driving. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of Bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
St. Louis brought the world gooey butter cake. Now Bluebell brings us gooey butter cake ice cream. A cake batter ice cream with a luscious cream cheese swirl and gooey butter cake pieces. Mmm, it's the gateway to the best in pints and half gallons.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
Look for Bluebell ice cream at your favorite grocer. If you can't find it, please be sure to ask for it.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused. Temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready. Let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
As we close the roundtable for this weekend, talking law enforcement, career opportunities, training, and the like, John Blackledge with us. John, what advice would you have for that young or even a little older person? I mean, you can get in the job much later than you could when you and I started now. For somebody who wants to get into the career field, what would you suggest for them to be thinking about putting together as they approach that decision?
Well, the most critical thing is your moral character and obviously a clean record. And that includes your driving record. That's one of the biggest things that we look at. As far as what should you do actively, if there's a police explorer post or police cadet program, get involved. Most police departments have, you know, welcoming arms for people that want to be involved. I had a fella down in Sebastian that was a police volunteer at 18 years old, and that got him his exposure. It certainly gives you a lot of what's going on in the culture. You learn a lot of things like codes and radios and stuff like that. For someone that's, you know, not in the teenage or early 20 years, get to know someone and talk to them. When I looked at where I was going to go work, I went and interviewed some of the officers I found sitting around at Palm Bay eating lunch and stuff, bought their lunch and said, hey, tell me what the place is like, when I decided to take the job there.
Very good.
So I think it's, part of it is reach out. The other is you should get online for your regional academy and FDLE. And FDLE has a site that explains the breakdown of the program. You want to go in physically fit. You want to look at the material. If you're sure you're going to go, buy the books. They're cheap. Start reading them ahead of time and having that down so you're not struggling, because it's drinking out of a fire hose when you get into the academy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was in a residential academy. We were like a military boot camp, and we would go from very early in the morning till sometimes 8-9 o'clock at night. And that intensive training helps. Let's talk one other thing. Department accreditation. There's a process for them to be recognized for what they do as well, as you look at agencies and the like, right?
Yes. There's an accreditation process at the national level called CALEA. And there's a state version of it in Florida that is run by an independent organization. Essentially, they bring in three assessors, and they look at what's going on in your department. They look at the policies. Are you following? They interview the public. They interview officers. They look through your files. My wife was not only an accreditation assessor. She was one of the first five master accreditation assessors. And it's a grueling, intensive process. And it's designed, it drives the training. It drives the policy issue. They don't tell you what your policy is going to be. They just say you have to have a policy, for example, on use of force, pursuits, all the various aspects. Mm-hmm. And you have to pass all of those to be accredited and recognized. And the overwhelming majority of agencies, sheriff's office and city police departments in the state of Florida, have pursued and are accredited and meet those standards.
So that serves to bode well in the minds of the citizens of those communities, wherever they are, that they've got an agency that is that exhibits professionalism.
Yes. And again, the underlying aspect of it is it drives the professionalism and the professional operation of the organization.
And ensures that the training is continuing so that you've got officers who are constantly refreshed.
Yes.
Great opportunities in the state of Florida and great people teaching you what you're doing. John Blackledge, thank you. It was informative, and I know you know what you're doing, and I appreciate you sharing with us today, my friend.
Happy to be here.
And that's going to do it for this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Join us next weekend on this station on the Florida News Network. Have a great week, and I'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.